Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
This is Elder Care Radio, and it is Wellness Wednesday, and we look forward to having a conversation with you today. We really appreciate being here. My name is Richard, and this is Kaylee, my wife, and she's the one who has all the great information, and I just try and...
Okay, he's saying that because I told him this show is his today.
But we
good luck, Richard.
Yeah, appreciate
you're on,
it.
You're on your own.
We'll probably overcome that. But it is heat warning today, and we were going to mention that we would recommend that people get out and get a little exercise, but be careful, you know, early morning, late evening maybe right now, or try and do something around the house, and don't let the heat affect you. Because as we age, things affect us differently, and we need to be, you know, a lot more diligent. It's different when you're 70 than when you're 17. So it is important to be a little careful out there today, and if you don't need to exert yourself outside, don't. And if you do,
drink a lot of water, wear brimmed hats,
and
sunscreen.
Stay in contact with somebody.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, have somebody there with you, or stay in contact with them so that they can kind of keep track of you out there. Because if you do, you know, suffer from heat stroke, you may not be able to solve that problem by yourself.
Early mornings have been perfect, though.
Yep. Yep, that's what we think. Early mornings, like now, getting up and getting in here to.
It's already 92, Richard.
I know. A little bit earlier than this was nicer.
Well, I don't know. This was nice for me. So
put your Walkman headphones on and go on a walk.
Yeah. For those of us who are, you know, in the
how old are you, Richard? 90.
Well, come on, we're talking
Walkman?
To the senior community. You know what a Walkman is, right?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
I doubt my kids do, though.
And for those of you who don't know, but you know somebody who might know, have that conversation with them. Ask them what a Walkman was and how that started. And it was a revolution, no question. So we this week in hospice, we've had a couple of interesting scenarios, and we thought we'd share those with you. And we'd really like to talk about the limitations of home health versus the expansive potential of hospice, I guess, and compare and contrast those. Home health, which I think many of us have heard, rehab, home health, we all are probably familiar with what that is, but I don't know that we all understand the mechanics behind it and the limitations that it causes. And we had some people that we had some conversations with this week that really defined that and gave us some examples of how it's different.
So I think it's important to remember that we have to control our, again, be your own best medical advocate, right? So in this scenario, we had a family who was on home health after being in the hospital, and it was a short stint in the hospital, so their cares were being performed at home. But the wife was feeling like just absolutely overwhelmed, like she wasn't getting enough care in the home. And having heard our program, she reached out to us and gave us a call. And when we went in, we were actually surprised that they were on home health rehabilitation instead of hospice, because it was very evident. And once again, a difficult position for us, because we don't want to be the bearer of bad news. And a little disappointed that the doctors and the home health company hadn't already told them where the progress of his disease was.
But the reasons for that, when we've discussed this before, doctors don't like to have that discussion, and I get it. Many of them, you know, the policy is we don't tell, and we let the natural course of things happen and not try and get ahead of these issues so that people can be informed, because informed people are sometimes less happy, and maybe they'd give them a bad Google review. I don't know. So they don't bring that up. But the other part of it is that for a home health agency, home health is completely different than hospice in the way that care is determined and provided.
It's considered a fee for service, which means that every service they perform, they are paid for, but they're only required to perform those services that the doctor has put on a prescription. So it's much, much different than hospice, because hospice, we have a huge list of minimum requirements, which also include physical therapy, palliative measures, the CNAs, the nurses, and the doctor's oversight. But the home health company gets paid for everything that they do and only have to do what is on a prescription.
Right. And so that's one of the distinctions.
Yeah.
One of the distinctions is that home health, their goal, their purpose, their obligation is to just fulfill on the steps that are written down. Hospice, on the other hand, we have the goal, the obligation, the expectation to improve the life of the person, to do all the things that are necessary to make that better, not just follow a prescription, a list of steps. And that's what we came up with in this case, was that a doctor had said, well, we'd like to have a nurse visit regularly. And that was it. The nurse didn't have any expectations, any requirements, just a nurse visit daily, which for a home health company is great because they just bill for somebody showing up and then leaving the home. And that was all the care that the family was getting. In fact, the gentleman was unable to ambulate, the word for walk, was unable to get around himself. And so the family was actually pushing him around in a kitchen chair with wheels on it. And we walked in, we immediately said, we'll get you a wheelchair. We got a hospital bed. All those things were delivered the very next day, just as soon as we put him on, because we saw that that was necessary. He needed oxygen.
I want to say, though, first, we did tell them, would you have, in this town, most people are home health and hospice. Mm-hmm. We specialize in hospice specifically. We feel that it's important to have a specialized palliative provision. We spend a lot of time on that, creating a very specific and individualized program for each person that is on our service. But we told this family to go back to their nurse. Their nurse was coming in the next day. We said, ask her to evaluate him for hospice, because once you go from home health to hospice, you no longer have co-pays, qualifying. You have really no more worries. At the time that you come into hospice, we're supposed to try and find a way to lighten your load and your burdens and make your responsibilities less. You just get to spend time loving your loved one and taking care of your loved one from a position of a family member, a wife, a daughter, a son. You just get to be the family member, and we'll help with all the clinical needs. So in this particular case, this poor woman was running herself ragged, and she herself is in her 80s and has her own issues to deal with. And she loves her husband so much, and she's doing such a great job caring for his needs. So when she called in, we said, ask your company to evaluate for him for hospice. So the nurse came out the next day and said, oh, yeah, no, he's not hospice eligible. So the family called us back and said, I'm surprised. Why do you think that they're hospice and they don't? And the other part of it is that means that she's still carrying the load of the burden. Mm-hmm. And the nurse never even really did a good, thorough assessment of him. She just kind of asked some questions and said, nope.
Well, And that's specifically part of the issue, is that the nurse was given a prescription to show up every day, which she did. She showed up every day. But she didn't have a prescription to assess. She didn't have a prescription to determine.
Doesn't have a right to diagnose. So you have to go further than just the nurse. And I guess that was kind of a flash for us, because we encourage our nurses to do a very thorough assessment. And while they don't diagnose, they come back and discuss it with the IDG team, which includes the doctors. And then the doctor says, okay, they're eligible or they're not.
So we have a doctor that prescribed what he thought was, a meaningful thing. And that was, well, we'll have a nurse go and visit. But he didn't give specific instructions to the nurse or a criteria or some expectations. The nurse did what she was told to do, and that was all she did. When we got there, he had some indications that he might have an infection, and so we immediately, sent for an antibiotic to address that. But that infection had been going on for a while. Now, if you're not aware, in elderly, infections can have a debilitating cognitive effect. You become delirious, you can't communicate well, things like that. And those were all things that he was experiencing. And so, we thought, well, we should probably get that taken care of. We were surprised that it hadn't been taken care of before on home health. So we started a antibiotic regimen to try and accomplish that. Now, the nurse didn't want to put him on hospice, and there may be a lot of monetary reasons that, you know, we won't go into great detail other than...
Not great detail, but you kind of have to understand that if the fee for service, if the responsibility is less and they're paid for every job that they perform, then there's a benefit to staying on home health longer. Because once you go over to hospice, our responsibility goes up and we have a flat daily amount to deal with. So we have to be really good economically, financially, in budgeting, and in planning. We have to be very strategic.
That's right. In that flat daily amount, we provide all of the care. And that's not just a nurse, but that's everything else. Now, even at that level, and the reason that we are involved in this in the first place in hospice is because we saw that the care wasn't being provided at the hospice level that should be there, you know, because a business looks at it. Well, if we only get paid X amount of money, we don't want to provide more than Y amount of service, you know,
right,
some smaller amount. But that amount had gotten so small. The level of care had gotten so low that it wasn't good care anymore.
Okay, this is always where I interject because I don't want it to sound like we're saying that the other companies aren't lovely and wonderful. They are, but the nurses would not choose to be a nurse in the hospice home health plan, I guess, format, if you really didn't have a compassion and love for the seniors. Mm-hmm. So the nurses, kudos to them. Woohoo. They are awesome and incredible. I rarely hear that the nurse wasn't incredible and wonderful.
And they'll do everything they can within the scope of what the company allows.
Exactly right. What are they empowered to give back to the patient? Mm-hmm. Besides their loving, compassionate care, are they being encouraged and empowered to give more? And that's the difference between Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care and other hospice companies who even claim to have palliative, but really it's only pain management.
Yeah.
And nice nurses. Mm-hmm. And the nice nurses have a lot of value, but are they giving more? Are they allowed to give more? It's not the nurses' fault. It's the companies. Are the companies empowering their nurses to look for ways of benefiting, truly benefiting the patient and the family's lives?
And if you're listening and you're one of those nice nurses and you see the difference and you want to try and be on the other side, let us know.
Or no, if you just want to understand what the heck we're talking about, come talk to us because we want the entire Valley to understand what the palliative program was intended to be through Medicare.
Yeah,
that it hasn't been until we got here.
If you're a different hospice company and really want to know what can be done and how to accomplish that, we would love to talk to you because we want to raise the level of care for everybody in this town. And this is why we're doing this radio broadcast and reaching out to the community so that they're better prepared. So when we overview that whole thing, there was a doctor who wrote a list of executions, and that list was a nurse visit. But there wasn't any expectation. There wasn't any... there was, as far as we can tell, there was no plan for any improvement. It was just going to be have a nurse show up. And the nurse, because she was following that particular protocol, wasn't looking for things. She wasn't taking vitals. She wasn't doing anything. She showed up, talked to him for a few minutes, and then left and satisfied it. Well, they didn't have a wheelchair, but the nurse didn't assess for a wheelchair. That wasn't part of the prescription. So she didn't say, well, maybe they need a wheelchair, and then try and reach back to the doctor and say, hey, we think a wheelchair would be good. So if you would write this prescription for a wheelchair so that we can then do that, and then maybe a hospital bed, and then yes, maybe some oxygen, and all of that, you know, added layer of complexity was more than the prescription originally provided.
And again, in home health, if you're not advocating for yourself then, and very specifically telling the nurse, go back to my doctor, this is what I need, you're probably not going to get it because it's a lot more work and effort that not only are they not being empowered to do, but they have no requirement, there's no written order. So often they're lovely, but they assume that this is it. This is all you get.
And there's a natural disconnect. We've got a physician who has 1,800 to 2,300 patients, and one of those patients was prescribed home health. And so he wrote a prescription, and that's the end of his participation. And then it's given to a totally different company, a home health company, who says, okay, we're going to take this written explanation of what we're supposed to do and implement it. And they did. They fulfilled on their obligation
and
under that
company,
prescription.
And as a company, usually the home health nurses and the hospice nurses are very, very separate. So the home health nurses don't necessarily understand the plethora of gifts and entitlements that you get once you move to hospice.
But they're completely disconnected from the physician also, and that's where the problem comes. Now, with us, our whole organization is working around a team. We have people on the ground, and we have doctors who work specifically with us and our patients. And so there isn't that disconnect. There's feedback all the time. When the nurse goes out, they do an assessment and a report, and the doctor looks at that, and every 2 weeks, we are looking at those assessments and changes and determining...
At least every 2 weeks.
Determining how to change the prescription to fit better. Instead of just a one-size-fits-all single written document, it's a dynamic adjusting system.
Well, and in this case, when we prescribed the antibiotic, when the doctor prescribed the antibiotic, our nurses were going out every day to make sure his response to the antibiotic was appropriate. But there is a little footnote that I need to interject here. You need to keep something in mind. We've talked before about advocating for yourself and having all of your medical medications profiles with you when you go to the hospital. Keep something very, very important in the top of your mind, the forefront of your mind. When you go to the hospital and they ask you who your primary care physician is, they write it down, but they do not call them. The reason why that's very important is this happens all the time, and it happened in this specific case. So they had gone to the hospital knowing that something was terribly wrong with the husband. They show up at the hospital. The hospital asked who their doctor was. The hospital never asked what the medications were, and the wife was actually prepared for that. She had heard our show, and she had the profile, and she said to the attending physician at the emergency room, "Do you want this medication profile?" He said, "No, if we admit him, we'll ask for it tomorrow." Okay, so she just took that as, you know, the gospel's answer, and that's all I need to do, and put that back in her purse. And she went about waiting for her husband to be assessed. So in the emergency room, they wrote down the doctor's name. Did they call the doctor? No, they don't call the doctor. They're in a critical emergency situation. They don't look at your history. They don't have time to do all that. They just start running a plethora of tests. Well, they end up sending this gentleman home. The doctor ends up with a notice that home health is necessary. So he's really just looking at an emergency room visit. So in the doctor's defense, he's looking at a very basic emergency room assessment. Does it have details like his cognitive is declining, his ability to ambulate is tremendously compromised? No, he does not have all that information. Now, again, this is why we're doing this broadcast today. Had the wife got on the phone to the doctor and said, "Doctor, this is my husband's condition, and we need this and this and this," I am confident that the doctor would have done that, okay?
Mm-hmm. I would too.
Had the nurses been empowered to truly assess and then reach back to the doctor to say, "This is the condition. We need this, 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 this," then I'm sure that he would have been better cared for. Sadly, in this case, that's not how it turned out. In fact, our company was going out every evening, even after the nurses were going, just to help this family say, "You need to ask your nurse for this. You need to ask your nurse for this. You need to ask for your nurse for this." After being told no, 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 no by the nurse, she said, "I really want your company to take care of us. Can't your company take care of us?" And the reason I go through this is, yes, we could have immediately said, "Oh, we'll take your care." But that really wasn't the plan. We were trying to help the other company also understand how they could be better providers. But so we did take over their care, and it's a wonderful experience. We are working very well with this family, and his needs are all being met. But in the 3 or 4 days that we met with this family, you know, behind their nurse, That was a real struggle for this poor woman. And then within, you know, a couple of hours of us taking over her care, she had everything. Oxygen, hospital beds, wheelchairs, bedside commodes, her antibiotics, just absolutely everything. She was so daunted with how much care she got that she was really disappointed and, quite frankly, angry that she had worked so hard and been struggling for so long without all those cares and assistance.
And so for a physician to imagine all those conditions and be able to write a single prescription that would solve all those issues is unreasonable to expect.
It is.
So for us, it's always a dynamic event. We start with what we think are the best solutions, and then we keep adding to it. But if we're looking at a system where there's an order written and then it's given to another company who follows that order, and there isn't that immediate feedback and continuing feedback and assessing, then we're not going to accomplish that. So if you have any questions at all about the care that you're receiving or any, you know, being your own best medical advocate, how can you do that under a certain circumstance? We would love for you to call us. We will walk you through what we see as some options that you have available. Our telephone number is 435-477-6999. And we take those calls anytime. But if you are struggling, or if you know somebody who's struggling, and you just want to know some things that you can do to improve the situation you're in, not necessarily make big changes. We're not saying that everybody has to become our client. We'll help anybody in this community get better care with their doctor, get better care through the hospital, get better care from the people that are helping in the home, if that's the case. We just want to help people get that better care. And if you can't find better care, then we're more than happy to help you, you know, provide care that you can't get anywhere else.
So if you see a neighbor struggling, if you know of somebody that is desperately trying to manage their loved one as well as the day-to-day responsibility that come with life itself, please give us a call. Refer them to us. Have them call us. We're happy to just look it over, give them an overall profile review of their medical history, and see if we can find you any resources that might make your life a little bit easier.
And if you are on home health, or if one of your family members is on home health, and you aren't getting everything you think you could get
or need,
yeah, that would be helpful for you, whether that's a wheelchair or oxygen or another medical device or a different level of care or another type of care. If you keep going back to the home health company and they say no, 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 then go back to your doctor and talk to him, because he's the one who's actually going to make that order. And if the home health company doesn't feel comfortable going back to the doctor and asking for an adjusted prescription, then you need to be your own best medical advocate. You're the one who needs to communicate with your doctor where you're at and give him that information and see if you can get that better care.
Give us a call. We'll call your doctor. We are not afraid to talk to the doctors in this town. Most of them are just absolutely lovely and very receptive.
And everybody wants to work together.
They want to do a good job.
Yeah. If everybody can work together, everybody's going to be better off. We just want to do that. So again, give us a call. That number, 435-477-6999. And again, tomorrow is Thursday, and we will be at the St. George Senior Center doing blood tests.
Activities Leisure Center.
The Active Living Center, which is on what, 300, I think,
and Diagonal, right?
Yeah, right off of Diagonal. And we do blood sugar tests and blood pressure. We will keep those records for you so that you have a history. You may find that things have changed for you that you weren't aware of, so that gives you a little better information. We'd love to see you. We really appreciate all the support that we get there from people who are listening on the radio. And the Active Living Center would love to have more people showing up too.
And they have some wonderful programs. Look into it. It's a great place to find some social activities and a lot of other people just like you for companionship and friendship. And it's a good time. Come on out.
And we will be in Hurricane. For those of you listeners that are in Hurricane, we will be out there on Monday between 11 and 12, and we look forward to seeing you there.
Have a great week, everybody.